recently had to call and get a lawyer's advice on something. And so I popped the phone book open and I went down through the phone book and I found a lawyer down there, a lawyer group that made it look interesting. The names were Schwartz, 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 and Schwartz. I love that sound, so I called him up. I said, "Is Mr. Schwartz there?" A man answered the phone. He said, "No, Mr. Schwartz is out of town at a convention right now and won't be back for 2 weeks." I said, "Is Mr. Schwartz there?" He said, "No, he's retired. He's no longer with us." I said, "Is Mr. Schwartz there?" He said, "No, Mr. Schwartz is now deceased." I said, "Is Mr. Schwartz there?" And the man said, "Speaking." With a full heart, let us give as the ushers come forward. If there are none others, let us move forward in this time of prayer. And if you have something that's too heavy to speak out loud upon your heart, just hand up and down as we join. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here together. Thank you for giving us so much more than we would ever, ever deserve. And thank you for the one connection, our open line, our prayer, that we are able to come forward to you so boldly because Christ died for us to be able to do that. And that the prayers that we make through the Holy Spirit be brought to you and laid at your feet and be answered in your will, your time, and whatever they are, be a blessing to us. And so today we first ask for forgiveness. Where we have sinned, where we have failed you, where we have stepped off the path, where we have let temptation get in there in whatever form it is and absolutely root around. That you would put us back on, that you would forgive us, and that your mercy would cover us and bring us back up again. And we ask for those, Father, who are traveling today, be it away from here, to here, in whatever direction, that they would be watched over and that they would be kept. And thankful we are that Hannah is on the mend again. We want to keep her lifted up in prayer, but remember Leonard at this time as he's suffering. And the prayers that were brought forth, meet his sister. Help move in that life, Father. Give Mita the strength that she needs to be there for her. For Kathy's cousin, the doctors would find that this pain, this whatever it is that's wrenching, is just be taken away, that they would come to an understanding of that and help ease that away from her. The frailties of this body is something we will fight with until we're called home, but it is you that can ease that pain, and so we turn to you in these times. For Margaret, we miss her. She's not feeling well. For Anna, we miss her. Be with them, Father. Lift them up. Strengthen them in their time of need. For Lori's grandmother, she's back in the hospital again. And for watching over Pat and Nancy's 84-year-old sister, that she'd be lifted up. For David's book, that it would be well received and well sought and well read by many of the community. And that through that would be blessings great and more souls brought to Christ. And for praise, Father. In our quietest moments, Suzanne going back for another treatment, yet praising the Lord because he watches her. Gail praising the Lord because he gave her a home. Us praising the Lord through song, through desire, through want to be here above all other things. And that you be with those, Father, who don't speak out loud that prayer, whether they write it down and put it in the prayer box or they simply raise their hand at that moment. Be with them. Still them. Quiet them. Let that prayer be answered. And that you would be ever more powerful in a movement in that life. Father, we ask that you would watch over and keep those who lead and guide this country. And as things change, as turmoil takes place, as it always does, that you would still be kept in the front of it all. following you would be the first and foremost thing we would do with this country and its leaders. Watch over and keep those, Father, who mission in your name here around the corner. For those who go and share at the rescue mission, for those who receive at the rescue mission, for those who go out in mission in the name of Christ in faraway lands and put their life on the line, guide and bless them, Father. We ask that you would also be with Rachel today if she's not here. She's battling with her sugar again, Father. Keep her lifted up. That you would watch over and keep those who take care of us in all facets of our life. And strengthen us through the bond of the prayer that Jesus taught us as we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today starts and comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And in case you're wondering, 2 Corinthians, right after 1st. It's Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Our sermon title today has caused a rise in Wendy's eyebrows when she was asking me what your sermon title is. She goes, what's your sermon title? I said, why? And she goes, well, because I want to know. I said, well, because. And she goes, oh, that's the sermon title, isn't it? I said, what's it about? I said, I guess you'll have to wait. But we're learning about why. Well, because if we listen to these words that Paul is writing, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. He starts off about his vision. And so we see Paul lost in the rapture of what Christ has laid out, what the Lord has laid out, what is coming. Verse 1, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except for my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or what I say. Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. May God bless this to our hearts and hear it as we think about it in our own soul. Join with me together in prayer as we seek His wisdom. Heavenly Father, let us lay aside our labors and break open the bread of truth. These words are not mine, they're yours. Let them be given forth to ears that will hear. Let them strengthen, let them lift, let them convict, let them push to do so. Let them teach mercy. Let them teach Christ. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. You know what I miss? And I never ever thought I'd say this. I miss my children when they were first learning to talk. See, they talk all the time now. But when they were first learning to talk, and more so when they were really gathering up words and they were connecting sentences together and they really started to learn things, they always did the same thing. Why? 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 Why, Daddy, did you hit your thumb with that hammer? I thought you were trying to hit the nail. Why, Daddy? Why? Why is it this way? Why are things this way? Why? I had to learn a whole bunch of new stuff. And I had to learn that phrase. Well, because. Well, what do you mean, well, because? Well, because I don't know. They taught me to become humble with those words. Why, Daddy? Why is the sun so hot? Well, because, you know, it's I don't know. Because it's hot. Because God made it that way. That became my favorite saying. And that quit working after a while. They started getting a little smarter, and they wanted the real answers. But every now and then, they'd ask me something about, I don't know, Daddy, why does a tractor run? All right, let's get into this. And then they were sorry they ever asked that question, because 45 minutes later, they were both asleep on the shop floor. But why? They wanted to know. They wanted to learn. The world was new. The world was vibrant to them. And children don't care. When they want to know something at that specific age, they want to know. And I'm going to tell you right now, they'll humble you. Recently at one of Buck's baseball games, I was sitting in the chair watching the baseball game. I happened to have along some reading material because sometimes those games are kind of slow. I'm sitting there reading one of my favorite tractor books. When one of the sons at 3.5, maybe 4 years old, of the coaches came up to me. I've talked to this boy before. I thought he wanted to ask me about tractors. He walked up to me and he stood there looking at me for a minute. And I said, what? He poked me in my side. He goes, why is your belly so big? Why? Well, because I eat a lot. He poked me again. He goes, is there a baby in there? I said, no, that's not how it works. He said, my mommy has a baby in her belly, and her belly's big too. Is that what? I said, no, I eat too much. He goes, oh, and then he ran off. His mom was very pregnant. Makes you think about yourself. It humbles you. Here I expected once again to tell him something wonderful. And instead, he taught me a lesson. And he taught me to ask why, but be prepared for the answer. Somewhere along the way, brothers and sisters, somewhere along the time, we lost that ability to ask why to learn. We became to the point where we ask why because of the hurt we see. It's part of our growth. It's part of our evolution up into a mature Christian. It's part of us going from milk to meat. We start asking, why did a man take a gun and walk into a movie theater? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why? Why is my life so miserably hard? And there's no daddy anymore that we can ask that to. Except for him. And his answer is going to be, well, because. Get asked a lot of whys now. The minute you let somebody know you're a preacher, they just lose it. Oh, well, why is this? Why is that? And they challenge you on it. And Paul is looking at that as we look at that scripture. We've all heard this scripture a dozen times. But we need to look at it from the perspective of why. Why is our life so hard? We accepted Christ, right? Is there anybody in this room that didn't? Because if you didn't, you need to see me right now. I can't let you leave. But we all accepted Christ, amen? We all know why we accepted Christ, because life was flat out miserable before, right? So when you become a Christian, everything magically becomes roses, doesn't it?
No.
No. No. I thought if I accepted Christ, became a Christian, all I'd have to do is walk by the lottery stand and the numbers would hit me instantly. That's not how it works. That's not what God's plan is for us. God's plan is to let us live life under His protection, under His will, whatever it is. We go back to that scripture and we take a little look at it for a minute. And we hear in the backside of that scripture, you don't see it in the front because Paul writing this probably didn't feel it was worth it, but I'm sure in those moments it was, why? Why? Look at all the work I'm doing for you. I can feel Paul's pain from a pastor's standpoint. You can feel Paul's pain from a Christian's standpoint, can't you? Why? Well, because I want you to experience this. That's tough. That's a hard thing to think about. That's a hard thing to look. We don't even know really what Paul's thorn was. And more likely, it wasn't a thorn in the physical sense, like he'd been out picking too many raspberries and gotten one back in there he couldn't get a hold of. This was something that made him weak. Think about your own weaknesses for a moment, because you got them. I've been accused, happily so, of wearing my heart right there when I preach, because I'll tell you where I mess up, which is everywhere. And I'll tell you my biggest weakness is my temper. I'm not patient enough. Oh, you want to learn how to control it? You want to learn how to get it under control? Go become a pastor. And I bless you each every night that you gave me this to teach me that. He won't take my thorn away. He won't take that weakness away. Because without it, what would happen? Let's say maybe you can't see as well as you want to. Or maybe you don't have the right kind of foot. Or maybe there's something wrong and you want it gone and it bothers you and it causes you to pray to God constantly. What would happen if you didn't have it? Would you still pray? Would you remember? You ever had, now they don't make shoes like this anymore and it's a shame, but at one time of day, and I am honestly old enough to remember, they used nails and screws to put shoes together. They don't really do that anymore, do they? They use glue, right? They hot glue them things together and they put them in a press, or they make them all out of one piece. Did you ever know what it felt like when one of them nails started to work its way up through the sole? And all day long you'd be walking on thinking, I got to get a new pair of shoes. I got to get a new pair of shoes. And how long would you go on with it? Well, if you're dumb like me, you'd put up with it forever. You'd put a piece of tape in there because you still had some wear left on your old boots. And you keep going till it poked through, and it would keep poking you, and you'd keep thinking about it. And then one day you couldn't take it anymore, and you go out and buy a brand new pair of shoes, and then what would happen? You'd never think about them again. Why do you have weakness? Because God wants you to stay close to Him. Paul says it right there. Verse 7. You should underline that. Put it on the refrigerator. Write it on your hand to keep me from becoming conceited. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Paul even says, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, and it's written in red, those are Jesus' words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There is a great picture, if you ever get a chance to see it, of a building, and I think it's the Rockefeller Building up in New York, if I'm not mistaken, where they have a man who is supposed to represent one of the great Greek gods, muscled out, all big and strong looking, and he's holding the world up. You ever seen that thing? And he's bent down to where he's almost hit the ground. Big giant man like that, holding the whole world up on his shoulders. God doesn't want you to be that big, strong man trying to carry the whole world. God wants you to be who you are, where you are, what you are, with your weaknesses, and he'll take care of protecting you from the world. Amen. That's the well because. Don't think why it doesn't stop with Paul. Listen to these words. From Luke chapter 22, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Luke doesn't do Jesus' words justice there. We have no idea what he prayed because we weren't there. Want to bet it wasn't why? Want to bet it wasn't a father saying, well, because. Your weakness makes you stronger. I don't like to point out people within the church because I don't want to embarrass them. But when I was writing this sermon and putting these notes together, it wasn't making sense. It wasn't coming out right. And I was afraid that this was going to be the Sunday that I was going to fall on my face, finally. And Suzanne walked into the office. And she said, good morning. And she gave me a hug. And I felt good. And I started talking to her. And I asked her what was going on. And Suzanne said, well, there's a lot going on. But I don't care because I know where I'm going. I don't care because I know whose side I'm on. I don't care because he's watching over me. She said, yes, I get down and I get a little bit aggravated from time to time. But overall, if this is what it's to be, then that's what it's to be. If I'm supposed to leave and go home, I know where I'm going. She's asked the why and she's got the well because. This is what I have laid out for you, my daughter. That you would be somebody who other people could come to know Christ through simply by watching Christ through you. When I heard those words, I was very touched and I understood why. Well, because. And guess what? When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, Christian, why? You can say, I'll give you permission. You can call me and ask. You can say, well, because I don't know. Paul said it, didn't he? Paul said, I don't know. God knows. Why do these things happen? I don't know. But I heard the greatest thing one time, and I know I've shared this once, and I'll share it again. There was a young pastor who was called to do a sermon for the 22-year-old son of another pastor who had been killed in a car crash. This 22-year-old man was on his way to seminary college. He was going to be a pastor. He was going to walk with the Lord. He was going to go do missions. Who knows what he was going to do? He's 22 years old. He had just gotten started. And the questions came rapidly. Why? 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 And this young pastor knew that he was going to have to preach this funeral, and he was upset. And so he went to the older pastor whose son had passed away and talked to him about it. He said, the question I keep get asking is, why did this happen? Where was God? pastor looked at him and said, God was in the same place he was that night that he was the night we killed his son. His will. Taking our weaknesses and making us strong. Well, because I want you to stay next to me. I want you to not forget me. I want you to not become... Do you know how easily it would be for me to become conceited up here? You all know me. We all know the story of how conceited I can get to be. You've heard the story of my lost wallet, right? Not at all of you have. The time we were eating at the restaurant, the manager came out and he was looking for people and he kept looking at me, and Wendy goes, that manager's looking at you. I said, yeah, he probably knows me from somewhere. Must have heard me preach sometime or saw me on the tractor or at one of the tractor shows, you know, my last name and everything. He comes over and he goes, are you Paul Leatherman? I said, well, yes, I am. He goes, are you Paul Leatherman of Myersville, Maryland? I said, yeah, that's me. And I got ready to hear the accolades. And he goes, you left your wallet in the bathroom. It could happen that quick for me. It could happen that quick for any of us that experiences a multitude of blessings if we don't have what's left behind to keep us close to God. Why? Well, because this is what He wants. Why? Well, because He gave you free will. Why? Well, because you are a child of God. Why? Well, because all the things that you suffer here on this planet one day are gone. We sang that song, Victory in Jesus. I love that song. Because you know, you never think about those words. I heard an old story, and nobody ever pays attention to that first line. I'll bet you've forgotten about it. I heard an old story about a Savior who came from what? Came from what? What's glory? Paradise, heaven. He left His Father's side. Why? Well, because I love my creation. And I need to save them. And son, you're the only one who can. Can you imagine that conversation? Why, Dad? Why? And finally, when it's all over, okay, I'll go. Brothers and sisters, that's the thing we need to put back in here. Every time we think about Jesus Christ and our own weaknesses, which are relatively minor compared to what He had to go through to keep us from dying in the fires of hell. We have to keep it in our mind that He left glory to save us who did not deserve it. Ever. He heard the wise and the well because and said, okay. And so that's my challenge to you today. That's my desire for you today, that whatever is tormenting you, whatever is pushing down on you, I had a miserable week this week. I had to fire somebody who I liked. That was tough. And I still have a lot to go on because of that. And I kept asking, why? Why? And the only answer I kept getting is, because this is what my will is for you. Will something come later on out of it? I'm sure of it. The day I lost my job with the county and found myself spinning out of control, it was 2 hours of wise on my knees crying my heart out at the front pew of Harmony Church of the Brethren, begging God not to let this happen. Why? 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 Why is this happening? Why did you do this to me? Of course, it was me that did this to me. But why? Why? And the answer that came back was, because I have something else for you. I have something else I want you to do. I have something else because you belong to me. And now you're going to go in that direction. And here it is. Every time we ask why, and God says, well, because, we are reminded that though we have a thorn in our flesh tormenting us, a messenger sent from Satan, that Jesus Christ and His grace, whom we better be relying on, is greater than any of that and has the power to uplift us and keep us. Amen. That's the well because. That's the well because. When we travel back, we hear those sweet words, don't you? Why? Well, because, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. This week I challenge you, when you hear the words why coming out, you're not going to be able to stop them. Go back and get 2 Corinthians. Go back and reread those verses and remember, because His grace is sufficient enough for you to handle this. Can you do that this week? Let us pray. Gracious Father, how You come to us in the smallest of moments. How You're right there the whole time, whether we pay attention or not. How You lift us up even when we least expect it, even when we don't realize it, even when we don't thank You for it. And yet we have the nerve sometimes to go, why are You doing this? Why is this happening? Why is everything the way it is? In those moments, let us stop and pray and hear, well, because my child. Strengthen us, Father. Take us through those moments of doubt, those moments of fear, and push us on. Push us on to the next moment. And they're all around us, in our life, in our families, in our jobs, in our decision, in what we have to do to take care of our loved ones, in everything around us, Father. We can find ourselves closing in on our own weaknesses and becoming full of doubt and fear and begin to ask why. Keep us asking why, that we will pray to You without ceasing. And that as we see the blessings, we can minister to those around us. Strengthen us in the week to come, Father. For it is in Jesus' name we give thanks and praise for all these things. Amen. If you have a particular need today, I invite you to come forward. The altar's open. The prayers are here. If you need that lifting, if you need that strengthening, please don't hesitate. As we sing this last hymn, don't let that opportunity slip by.
Please stand and turn to page 358.
He lived and died to rise.
words, what a wonderful song to send us out on. Because he lives, because you live, Father, we can face tomorrow. Because our weaknesses are made strong under you, Father. Now I pray for each and every one of them gathered here today, for the brothers and sisters as they go from here, that they be departed under your watchful care, that their feet be made straight to walk in the time to come and the week to come, and that you would join us here together again, either in conversation in this house on Sunday morning, or if it be your will, over on that golden shore. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen.